want you to go with me in your mind's eye back to Judea a couple thousand years ago, to the nation of Israel right before the birth of Jesus Christ. What was it like? What was the national mood? What were the conversations taking place? What was the context of the birth of Jesus? First of all, politically. Remember, Jesus was born and lived in a territory called Palestine that had a long history of power struggles. Jesus' own people group, the Jewish people, were subject to enslavement and captivity to a variety of empires: the Egyptians, the Syrians, the Babylonians, Persians, Greeks, and when Jesus was born, the Romans. The glory days of King David, when Israel was the greatest nation on the earth, most respected and richest, are long gone. The Jews had not ruled over themselves for approximately 750 years. For generations, they were occupied and oppressed by foreign governments. The Roman Empire were their oppressors at the time of Jesus' birth, and in Judea, the Roman boot was squarely on the neck of the Jewish people. The Romans brought with them their violence, illustrated by King Herod a few years later when he had all of their babies killed, their paganism, and their perversion. Let me be clear, the Jewish people hated their Roman oppressors. They were unwilling subjects. And there seemed to be these constant rumors of uprisings and revolutions. Economically, the Jewish people were oppressed. The Roman government required heavy taxation on the people, causing great strain on personal income. There's a very large disparity between the rich and the poor. Most were poor. The temple priests were among the group that was rich, by the way. And on the Jewish people, the temple had turned into a marketplace as people had desperate attempts to make a dollar. Spiritually, the atmosphere was dismal as well. The Roman ruler Herod had placed forbidden idols in the Jewish holy temple, desecrating the most holy place, and just escalating the resentment that the Jews had toward the Romans. The teachings of the law of Moses had become corrupted, and now much of the Israeli spiritual culture was subject to superstitions. There was nobody proclaiming God's word or giving hope or direction. Matter of fact, it had been more than 400 years since any prophecies had been given. Think about it. Even during the captivity, there was Jeremiah, there was Ezekiel, and there were others who would proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." But no Jew currently in Israel, spanning back 5 or 6 generations, had ever heard, "Thus saith the Lord." The spiritual atmosphere was bleak, and there didn't seem to be too much hope. And in this atmosphere of hopelessness and spiritual weariness, an angel appears on a hillside and gives a message to some shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That angel that night gave a message that I believe can be summed up in one word: hope. The angel said that night, "There is hope." Now remember, it wouldn't be until 33 years later that Jesus would pay the full penalty for sin as he died on the cross. So it would be many years until anyone had experienced the miracle of salvation. So why the big announcement now? Why all the fanfare on the hillside? Why the angels proclaiming this thing? Why would Isaiah prophesy about this moment hundreds of years earlier in chapter 9, verse 6, when he said this familiar verse? Would you say it with me? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want you to look at all of the future tense in this grammar of Isaiah. This will be. This is going to come to pass. These things will take place. The message of Christmas is hope of what will happen, of what is coming. Come on, somebody. It's the power of hope. God, through Isaiah, prophesied the hope of the coming Messiah. And then the angels announced good news. It was the good news of hope. The songwriter put it this way: there was a thrill of hope. And the weary world rejoiced because a new and glorious morn had broken. It was indeed a night divine. We're going to sing that here in a few moments. A holy night. When the only thing you could do in response was bow and sing with the music of angels. Hope is a miracle. Hope is a miracle. And today our message is the miracle of hope. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is the miracle of hope. You may be asking, how is hope a miracle? Let me illustrate for you. I read a true story about a retired school teacher who volunteered to visit and teach young children at a very large hospital. One day the phone rang and she received her first assignment as a new volunteer. On the other end of the line was the classroom teacher of a young boy who had been hospitalized and needed tutoring during his stay in the hospital. The volunteer teacher took down the name of the boy and his hospital room number and was told by his classroom teacher that this boy had been studying nouns and adverbs in his class before he was hospitalized. It wasn't until the visiting teacher got just outside the boy's hospital room that she realized he was a patient in the hospital's burn unit. She was prepared to teach English grammar, but she was not prepared to witness the horrible look and the smell of badly burned human flesh. She wasn't prepared to see a young boy in great pain either. Everything around her made her want to hold her nose, to turn around, and leave faster than she came. But something inside her kept her from walking away, so she clumsily stammered over to his bedside and said simply, "I'm the hospital teacher. Your school teacher asked me to help you with your nouns and adverbs." And so she began to teach him. The next morning, when she came to work with the boy, a nurse from the burn unit rushed up to her and asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" The teacher began to apologize profusely, but before she could finish, the nurse interrupted her. "You don't understand. We've been really worried about him. His condition has been deteriorating over the past few days because he had completely given up hope. But ever since you were here with him yesterday, his whole attitude has changed, and he's fighting back. And now he's responding to treatment. It's as though he decided to live. What did you do?" When the nurse later questioned the little boy, he said, "Well, I figured I was doomed, that I was going to die until I saw that teacher." And as a tear began to run down his little face, he finished, "But when I saw that teacher, I realized that they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they?" Hope can do miracles. Can I say that again? Hope can do miracles in your life today if you believe. Christmas is the miracle of hope. Three reasons why. First of all, Christmas is the hope that promises will be fulfilled. Christmas is the hope that promises will be fulfilled. Old Testament prophets, including Isaiah, who were alive hundreds of years before Jesus, foretold in exact detail the issues surrounding Jesus' birth. Matter of fact, in the first 21 verses of Luke chapter 2, do you realize there were hundreds of prophecies fulfilled? That he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah said that. Isaiah said he would be born to a virgin. He would be born of the house of David. He would be from Nazareth. The psalmist said he would be presented with gifts. His father would be a carpenter, born in a manger, detail after detail after detail that was promised before he was ever born. that came to pass. If scriptures and promises concerning Jesus' birth is true, then all the other promises in the Bible are true as well. I want to say that again. If the scripture and promises concerning Jesus' birth is true, then all the other promises are true as well. I want to point out a few promises of God's word here today. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, say it with me, we shall be saved. That's a promise. Psalm 37, 25 says, I have been young and I have been old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Hebrews 13, verse 5, Jesus promised, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And we all love Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 that says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise. And Christmas reminds us that God keeps his promises. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It may be my favorite verse in the whole Bible where it says, all God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, every single one of them. To many in those days, they may have thought, you know, we'll never see God's promises come to pass. A savior? A deliverer? You know, I've been hearing that all my life, but it's never going to happen. And just like today, way back then, cynicism probably crept into people's minds. Christmas reminds us that we have hope, that God will fulfill his promises. It may not be in the time frame that we would like, but God always keeps his promises. So let me ask you this question. What has God promised you? What has God said to you in your time of prayer? As you have read the Word of God, God has given you a promise about your future, about your family, about your health, about your children, your children's children. And over the years, cynicism or doubt or fear may creep in and say, I'm not sure if God's going to keep his promises. God sent me here today to tell you, you can be sure he's going to keep his promises. Christmas is the miracle of hope that God will do what he said. I follow the Book of Proverbs on Twitter. Who knew the Book of Proverbs would be on Twitter? I love this statement that I read this past week. It's on the screen. I encourage you to follow the Book of Proverbs. God's promises are like the stars. The darker the night, the brighter they shine. Christmas is a miracle of hope because, number two, it's the hope of peace. The angel said in Luke 2, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Isaiah 9 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of... Now, there doesn't seem to be a lot of peace on the earth these days. Jesus predicted that would be the case in Luke 21 when he says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So people are asking, when will there be peace? And our answer is, when the Prince of Peace reigns on the earth. Well, the natural question then becomes, when is that going to happen? Well, by my telling and what I see taking place in the world, it's going to be pretty soon. Okay, so do we have to wait till then to experience peace? Well, for the whole earth, yes, you got to wait. But for you, no. You don't have to wait. You can experience the peace that was promised at Christmas today. The first kind of peace is called peace with God. Paul describes it in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, when he says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have, say it with me, peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Bible says that before you have a relationship with God, before you commit your life to Christ, you are an enemy of God? There's no peace between you and God. There is enmity the scripture says, between us and God. But God made a way for us through his son Jesus so that God and we could be friends. He could be our father. Don't you love that song? I am a friend of God. I think that's one of the most amazing statements that anybody could ever make, because we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. There's another kind of peace, not just peace with God, but peace of God. It's described in Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Look at this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. I like that. The kind of peace you don't understand will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The result of prayer is peace. In a few weeks, we're going to launch a 40-day prayer challenge here at our church. And some of you are saying, well, Pastor, why would we do that? Well, I can give you 1,000 reasons why we're going to do that, but let me just give you one right now. The result of your commitment to prayer will be peace in your life and in your house and in this place. Do you see that? You might be here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, my life's a mess. My family's in turmoil. My relationships are broken. My heart is distraught. Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope today? And the answer is yes. Because the Prince of Peace wants to come and reign in your life. And if you will invite him in, if you will give your life to him, he, the Prince of Peace, will bring his peace with him. And you'll have peace with God, and you'll have the peace of God in your life and in your relationships. Christmas is the miracle of the hope of peace. Lastly, thirdly, Christmas is a miracle of hope because it brings with it the hope of redemption. Luke chapter 2, he has visited and redeemed his people. For all the prophecies in the Bible, and there are many of them, about the first advent of Jesus coming to the earth to save us, to die for us, to be resurrected so that we could have eternal life. There are many more prophecies about the second advent of Jesus, his return to the earth to snatch his bride away from this place that we live. We call this the blessed hope. The miracle of hope is the hope of redemption. We call it the blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 5, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. The next verse is not on the screen, but I love it. It says, comfort one another with these words. It's a hope, a blessed hope. Remember in Judea, at the point in history when Jesus was born, the political climate was one of fear and oppression and violence. So the cry from so many in that day resembled the cry of the children of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt. They would pray, deliver us. Send us a deliverer. God heard the cry of the children of Israel, and he sent them Moses to deliver them. God heard the cry of Israel around the turn of the first century, and he sent to them Jesus. Can I tell you that there are many followers of Jesus today in December 2013 who are praying the same prayer today? Send us a deliverer. Send us salvation. Pastor Saeed Abedini is sitting in a prison cell in Iran this morning with not much hope. And he and his family, I'm sure, are praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Followers of Jesus in North Korea who are imprisoned and tortured, some are being executed for their faith in Christ, are praying, deliver us. In Afghanistan, Christians are required to meet in secret for fear of imprisonment. They too are praying, deliver us. Their hope is the hope of redemption, the blessed hope, when Jesus will return, the second advent, and it's our hope as well. Because we look around and we don't see things getting better. So we don't look around. We look up, Jesus said, because your redemption is getting close. My nephew Bryson Davis just recently graduated from the boot camp in the Marines, and he told me a story, he told us all a story that I absolutely loved, and it fits today so perfectly, because he said, we go to Marine Chapel once a week, right? Once a week. And he said, there was one song they sang every week. So they go to this chapel, couple thousand Marines, and the song they sing every week, and this is regardless of creed, regardless of where he came from, they would sing Days of Elijah. Now that's a song we used to sing around here a lot. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. He said that one of his favorite moments in chapel was they would get to the part where they were singing this song, and they would sing the part of the song that says, behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. And they would get to that point where they say, lift your voice, and 2,000 Marines would go, hoorah! Can we practice? On three? One, two, three. Hoorah! Is that it? Was that even close? Not really. How can you stand here, Pastor, and have the nerve to look people in the eye whose families are falling apart under the threat of divorce and brokenness? How can you look them in the eye and tell them that there's hope, that they're going to make it, that it's going to be okay? How can you stand there, Pastor, and say to somebody who's grieving the loss of a precious friend or family member that they've loved who's gone, how can you tell them that there's hope, that there's going to be a better day, that there'll be better days? You who are wondering if the season of miracles have passed you by and somehow the miracles of Christmas are for other people and not you, how can you say that miracles await? I can tell you that today because of Christmas. Because Christmas is the miracle of hope. A hope that God keeps his promises. A hope that he will bring peace with him. A hope that he's coming back. And you've got more to live for than just tomorrow and the next day. Amen. And the day after that and the life that you live. Because of the miracle of hope, there is a miracle of Christmas for you here today. Somebody say amen. Vernon's going to sing this chorus about hope, and I want you to listen to it. It's a song that we used to sing around here a lot. And as we sing this song, if you know it, sing it with us. And I want you to intentionally say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, work in me and bring to me the hope of Christmas.
There is hope, so hold on, there is hope. God sent me here to tell you there is hope. So no matter what you're going through or what the future holds, as long as Jesus lives, there is hope. There is hope, so hold on, there is hope. God sent me here to tell you there is hope. So no matter what you're going through or what the future holds, as long as Jesus lives, there is hope.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this room? And would you listen closely? Because I believe God is here today to plant inside each of us a miracle of hope. Just like that little boy in that burn unit in the hospital, some of you may be thinking, it's hopeless for me. I might as well give up. I might as well quit. But God sent me here today, and God brought you here today because of a divine appointment to tell you that there is hope, that you don't have to quit, that the future with you and God is going to be okay. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I'm holding on to the promises of God. The miracle of hope is the hope that God keeps His promises, and there are some things that God has promised me, but I haven't seen them yet. I haven't beheld them with my eyes. And I'll be honest, I've been tempted to quit. I've been tempted to get cynical, and I'm wondering if God's ever going to answer them. But today, I'm asking God to renew my faith that He will bring to pass everything that He's promised me. If that's you today, would you lift your hand all over this room? Is that you? Just acknowledge that God is speaking to you about hope. Raise it real high. Come on, raise it real high. That's you. God, give me faith to believe that every promise you gave to me is going to come to pass. Amen. You can put your hand down. If you're here and you say, you know, Pastor, peace with God. I don't have that. I don't have peace with God. There's something in my soul. There's an uneasiness. There's something that tells me that I'm not right with God. I'm not a friend of God. Today, I need the peace of God and peace with God. If you're here today and you're not right with God, you're not following the Lord, you haven't embraced the cross of Jesus, you're not following Him today, I've got some very good news. The hope of peace is yours. Peace with God. If you'll simply say, God, forgive me. Save me. Remember He said, those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, Pastor, I'm ready to call on God to save me. I want peace with God today. If that's you and you're here today, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. All over this room, you raise your hand. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you for raising your hands. God bless you. Keep raising them. That's me. I need to make it right with God today. God bless you. The hope of redemption. There are many of us here today that are hoping and praying that God will save our entire house. When He comes, we'll all go with Him. Our family members, our loved ones. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm holding on to that hope, and I believe in God that my household will serve Jesus and follow Him. And when that day comes for Him to take us away, I want them to go with us. If that's you today, would you raise your hand real high? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you raise your hand today for any of those reasons, I want you to stand to your feet, and we're going to sing this chorus one more time as a confession of faith, as a profession of faith, that there is hope. If you raise your hand for any of those reasons, let's stand together and sing this chorus one more time.
There is hope, so hold on, there is hope. My God sent me here to tell you there is hope. So no matter what you're going through or what the future holds, as long as Jesus lives, there is hope.
Lift your voice, sing it to the Lord.
There is hope.
There is hope.
So hold on, there is hope. My God sent me here to tell you there is hope. So no matter what you're going through or what the future holds, as long as Jesus lives,
as long as Jesus lives,
as long as Jesus,
saying it, as long as Jesus lives,
as long as Jesus lives,
there is hope.
There is hope.
And if you're here, you say, you know, I need to make it right with God. I want to lead you in a very simple prayer of repentance. Matter of fact, if we would all stand before we do this, a simple prayer of repentance and faith in God. And if anybody is here today that would like to join with these who raise their hand and say, I need peace with God, you join with us and let's pray together. Not praying to me, we're praying to the God who made you. Remember the scripture we said, the promise, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth to save lost people. I'm lost. I need a Savior. I've broken your laws, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I put my faith in Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, who rose again to save me. Today I choose to follow you, and for every day of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power to serve you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good.